Hello, Susan. Did you know I was going to do that? I'm going to work on my English accent, but we have an English guest today. I think it's our first English guest that we've ever had, Iskra. She has a huge community on social media. She's a model, a mom. She's gorgeous on the inside and out. She just became a mom.
Like 6 months ago, became a mom. Yeah. She probably feels like a vet now. Like she's really got a handle on this.
Right.
But we all know, like after 6 months, there's another 6 months and you hit that year mark and you're like, oh no, now this is what I remember what life feels like. And then another year passes and you're like, oh wait, this is what this is what it feels like to be me again.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to have her as a guest because she is a model, a mom, an entrepreneur. She's going to tell us a little bit about her business a little bit later in the podcast. And, you know, the thing that really stands out to me is that she is, you know, when you are a model, you know, you have to always use your body and your looks and everything. And we all know how everything that we've gone through, I'm still trying to like get myself back together as far as like the way I look and feel a year after having back my together. Baby.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall.
Humpty Dumpty.
All the king's horses.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I'm trying to put myself back together too.
So I always want to know what is a model thinking? Somebody who is on social media, you know, like modeling and stuff. What do you do to make yourself feel better? And do you even talk about that? So I think it's really interesting that she posts about this and she doesn't do any photoshopping on her account or anything.
I like that she said that. That's really cool. You don't hear that as somebody's sort of brand or mission statement as part of their brand to just never photoshop or filter. And people need more of that.
Yeah, for
sure.
You
know, people absolutely need more of that. I was just thinking about that Khloe Kardashian photo where she looks like a completely different person.
You mean like always? Yeah.
I mean, there's one in particular.
I know which one you're talking about.
I truly don't keep up. I've never been like super into that show or the women, but I just, that photo, you like couldn't not see everybody was talking about it.
It's true.
And it's just like,
well, it just makes
know.
You feel
I
bad.
Just, yeah,
it's like a realization that people on the internet don't always look like this, but it still makes you feel bad even when you know it. So I'm really curious. I hope you guys enjoy the conversation. I think we should just hop into it really quick.
Let's do it. Let's hop in.
So I'm originally from a tiny town in England called Kidderminster. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I haven't.
There's no reason for you to know about it, but I left home at 18. I got into modeling at 13, actually, but I left home at 18, moved in with ex-boyfriend, lived in a couple places with him. And then at 21, finally broke up with him, thank goodness, and moved to London. And that was really where I was able to kind of focus on my career. And 2.5 years after that, I moved to New York. And I lived in New York for 6.5 years. And then I kind of just got overwhelmed by the city. And I've always wanted to start a family. And I felt like New York for me was a place where that was becoming just non-existent. Or I felt so much pressure that it was all about career that I was like, okay, I bought a house in New Jersey, moved there. And that's when I found my partner. And he already knew about me for 5 years, so we can talk about that too another time, but he knew of me, and we finally, our lives crossed paths at an after party, a Grammys after party. And that was it. Basically, we became really close friends from January to September, and this is only 2018. And I wasn't looking for a relationship. He wasn't. We both came out of serious relationships, and it was September and we were both in Paris at the same time. Very romantic.
Very romantic.
I know, this is very pre-COVID. It's like the stories we need.
Yeah, he tells the story really well. Like he'll sit you down and he'll really take his time with it. But he watched me walk in Paris Fashion Week for L'Oreal, and we went to a after party again, and he showed up and I was like, oh my gosh, this guy. And then we went for dinner, and honestly, that was really it. I invited him to New Jersey, to my house. We spent 3 days together. And I think 2 weeks after that, he told me he loved me and that he didn't want to be with anyone else. Like, let's just go all in. And that was, you know, October, November 2018. Flash forward, I find out in August 2019 that I'm pregnant.
Yay! Yay!
And at the time, I was purchasing my second investment property in LA. And then I was like, oh no, now I have to move to Texas because that's where he's from and that's where he was living.
Oh, oh, breast pump delivery.
Wait, which one is that? Is that the Willow or is that the LV?
LV.
I got to represent the UK, yeah.
Got to represent the UK. And so, yeah, flash forward. Now I live in Austin and I have a baby and my life looks very different from pre-COVID, you know, living New York, LA, like fashion industry. So really a huge, complete life change. I'm sure like many people this last year, it's really been such an overwhelming feeling, in exciting at times, but also just like, whoa, what happened to my old life? Or, you know, how do I figure out this new life and the new me? And being a new mom is obviously a huge component of at times feeling lost, but at other times feeling like I have all the purpose in the world. Wow, that's not ideal.
This episode of FAM is brought to you by OxiClean. This is the season where we bring out all of our holiday stuff, just our decorations, even all the stuff for our table, which is what I've been doing. We've got holiday napkins, our runner for the table, all of the things that actually ended up having stains on them that I didn't notice from last year. So I'm cleaning it all up, including all of the wine spills that we had on the napkins. And you know what? I'm using OxiClean to do that.
There's over 100 ways to use OxiClean. This is really cool. It's powered by oxygen and it's activated by the air we breathe and the water we drink.
OxiClean is not just a stain remover. You guys can use it for all of your cleanups. Even if it's like in your bathroom, you can clean bathroom tile and grout, remove carpet stains. You can even clean your outdoor patio furniture if you are having maybe a very small outdoor get together this year.
For product information, stain solutions, and offers, visit OxiClean.com.
Tell us about your baby. How old is your baby? How's life going with the baby? I know you're about to start pumping right now, which is so appropriate for our podcast. I love it.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do when you can. I also was like, do I need a snack while I'm doing this podcast? Oh no, why has that one not got any battery? So yes, I have a 6-month-old who's absolutely just the joy of our lives, hysterical, got like this cheeky personality, knows what he wants already, is definitely 1000% an Aries, fiery, definitely can be challenging at times. We had a rough first 2 months until I got a sleep expert over Zoom to help me figure it out, because I was very much into being open-minded and chill and thinking I'm just going to co-sleep and see how that goes. I'm just going to, you know, breastfeed and see how that goes and just really figure out what naturally felt right as a mom. And you definitely do that. And I definitely still do that in some ways. But the other part of it is that I need to read the books. I need to get some help. I need to speak to other moms, because it was far more overwhelming in the sense of not knowing than I could ever imagine. You know, you really do have to figure out not just how to look after this tiny little human who's perfect, but also needs constant help and guidance and feeding and all of these things. But you also have to navigate how you feel. And so I think that was a huge wake up call for me as someone who has always advocated for mental health and self-care and self-love. It was like, whoa, how do I now look after this whole human and still look after myself whilst going through all these changes?
What kind of things have you learned and what have you implemented in terms of self-help and care and stuff?
Yes. So I think a major one for me has been just being able to switch off, really switch off in the sense of like, not replying to emails and not feeling bad about it. Like, I'm someone who likes to be productive and I've had to let myself know that if I don't get anything done today, it's okay, because I've done a major thing, which is looking after my child or looking after myself. And I think that you read these stories and you, it's so inspiring seeing women juggling all these different things, juggling their career, juggling motherhood, da 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 da. And I personally do feel like I stepped into that a little bit too quick. I think I gave myself less than 2 weeks. It was something like 10 days after giving birth. I kind of came back on social media and thought like, okay, let's try and do that. And I wish I'd have given myself a longer period, because even just the sleep deprivation, you know, I feel like I'm still catching up some days. You know, I'm very lucky he now sleeps through the night, but I still feel this exhaustion that I've never had in my whole life before. Even when I was working crazy hours, even when I was doing 2 flights a day or 10 flights a week, there really is. So that switching off and being able to not look at the phone and not feel pressurized to do something. And again, I'm someone who would have liked to have my bedroom completely tidy and neat, or like to have all the washing done, or like to not have a plate in the sink. You know what? I've just had to let that go a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, so the thing that really strikes me, you know, I think a lot of us as women, one of the things that we go through when we have our first baby is that we start to realize that our bodies have changed, right? And I'm super curious, as someone whose career has been built on being beautiful and, you know, like, obviously, you know, using your body as part of, you know, what you do for work and stuff. Like, what do you tell yourself? And I know that you're only 6 months out, so there's so much change. Your body is still healing and everything, but how do you like come to grips with that? And do you have moments where you're like, whoa, what is happening? I'm going to be okay.
100%. I definitely catch myself looking in the mirror at times and seeing this new body. And I have to immediately go to a place of gratitude, because those little horrible comments can creep in. I've definitely seen myself almost from an outside perspective, like a fly on the wall, see myself have those moments where I turn to the side and I'm like, my stomach is just never going to be flat again. It just isn't. And then I take myself to, and that's okay, because that doesn't define me. I've created a life in this stomach, which is insane. How could I expect it to go back to how it was? Or why would I want to? Because I should have a different body now I've done something so miraculous. I mean, it really was miraculous. I did it here in my kitchen, you know, drug free, just.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just did
Let's talk about your birth story.
Yeah. Wait, I definitely want to talk about your birth story, because that sounds really interesting. And I think that people really like need to hear that message like very loud and clear all the time, like just exactly how you said it. Your body created a life. It's not going to be the same. For a lot of people, it won't be the same, or it'll just take on a new form, and that's okay. And I think so many people struggle with that, because there's a little percentage of people on Instagram that look sort of perfect right after birth, and a lot of people get stuck comparing themselves. So I appreciate your message.
I'm a model. I can pose very well. I know my angles. And for sure, most people might look at my photos and think, whoa, she snapped back so quick. And I mean, I do breastfeed, and I was kind of shocked, actually. The weight did seem to fall off. But at the same time, I in myself can feel that my body feels different. The softness of my body, that where there's new pockets of fat that there wasn't, or just feeling out that body, to me feels different. Even I remember doing, I used the TRX straps a lot. I used them during my pregnancy and postpartum. And I remember doing my first like deep squat, and I was like, whoa, everything feels different. All my joints feel out of place. And I was like, of course, they've just expanded, and all of your ligaments have stretched, and just all these parts of your body that visually people will never think have changed, it feels different to you. If you're someone who moves a lot, I'm telling you now, my boobs feel different. They've clearly got milk in most of the time. So doing squat jumps or doing aggressive exercise, it feels different. I feel, you know, potentially, it's funny because you do the strongest thing in your life, but this, you kind of feel the weakest at the same time, in the sense that everything's kind of spread and relaxed. And, you know, I am someone who I like to feel strong, and I'm definitely still figuring out. Mentally, I know I'm strong. I know my body is strong. It did something amazing. and not feeling like I have to work out to try and get a strength that felt like it did before, because that might not be realistic for me now. And that's going to be okay. I think all of those standards or expectations you set for yourself, you have to rewrite them all.
Totally.
You know, I'm sure you both kind of had an expectation of what would happen after your pregnancies.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of like confidence and a sense of calm that came for me with my second. The pressure, I just didn't put pressure on myself to, you know, bounce back or work so hard or anything like that. I really felt calm, like how you were saying you wish you sort of gave yourself a bit more of a pause before jumping back. With my first, I was like that. I was in a music video 3 weeks after a C-section, like literally dropping it like it was hot. And I was like, and my abdomen might bust open because I'm definitely not healed right now. But second time around, super relaxed. It also happened to be around the holidays, which I think was like really nice because I had a for sure built-in amount of time to just do nothing except sit around. And I absolutely did that so guilt-free. And it was amazing. And I hope moms get that opportunity. But I want to hear about your birth story. I know people love birth stories. I love to hear them. The feedback we've gotten from the birth stories we've shared on here is just really, really positive. I feel like this could, I mean, there could be a podcast just on birth stories.
100%.
So, okay, I want to hear. So you're in Austin. You just moved there and you're pregnant and you say to yourself, self, I want to have my baby at home. Or what was that process like? How'd you get to that place?
Yeah, like what, take us through the entire thing. Because I also want to know when you move, like how do you decide who like your doctor is going to be and all that kind of stuff.
And
how
close you were to a hospital. So let's dive into that.
Yes. So I've always wanted to do home birth. I couldn't even really tell you where that came from. I have one cousin who I don't really know that well, and she had a baby at 18 and she did a home birth. And she said to me that she literally pulled her baby out herself.
Wow.
I don't know why, but that fascinated me. I'm also a Virgo and I like to kind of be in control of the situation, or at least be like, okay, this is how I would like it. And I'm going to make sure I do everything in my scope to make sure it goes the way that I had planned. And so when I kept hearing about people who, you know, go into the hospital, it's a different doctor, you know, when it actually comes time to, you know, go into labor, you've never maybe met them before. You maybe don't even know what room you're going to be in, or if there's going to be a yoga ball there, or if there's going to be, you know, the birthing pool that you'd like, or there was just so many ifs or whats. And I was like, this is the most important moment of my life. I would like to be in as much control as I can in an environment that I feel comfortable and confident and, you know, relaxed in. I hated the idea of not being able to eat. I love eating. I love my snacks. And I was like, oh no, if I go to hospital, am I going to be able to eat? How long am I going to be there? There were just so many questions. And I spoke to my partner about it and he was very open-minded. And my parents were a little bit taken back at the start, because I think part of them, obviously I'm still their baby. I'm actually an only child. So they were definitely a little bit more hesitant. Like, what if something goes wrong? We want to make sure you're okay. And so again, like you said, we found the different options of hospitals. The closest one was 10 to 15. And where we live in Austin, it's kind of on the outskirts. So there wouldn't be much traffic.
This episode of Fam for All Moms is brought to you by Green Chef. Green Chef is a USDA certified organic company that makes eating well easy and affordable, with plans to fit every kind of lifestyle. So how does this work? Green Chef lets you choose from a wide array of easy to follow recipes, whether you're keto, paleo, plant-based, or even if you just want to eat healthy. The recipes, I promise, are so quick and easy. This past week, we had the plant-based version delivered straight to our door. And let me tell you, oh my God, bursting with amazing flavor. The best part, in my opinion, is that my husband can completely handle dinner because these instructions are just so, so, so easy to follow. There's a wide variety of high quality, clean ingredients, and you can feel really great about what you're eating and how it got to your table. And again, bursting with flavor. The recipes include some pre-chopped ingredients, some pre-made sauces, dressing, and spices, so you can get more flavor in less time. You guys have to try Green Chef. Go to greenchef.com/fam80 and use code FAM80 to get $80 off, including free shipping. So again, go to greenchef.com/fam80 and use code FAM80 to get $80 off, including free shipping.
And then it was also, okay, let me meet some midwives. And if I really vibe with any of them, then that's going to give me the confidence to be like, yes, this home birth is a good idea. This is the direction I want to go. And so I met with a couple of different midwives, and I met Ellie, who was my midwife, and she was so, she wasn't airy-fairy about it. She was just very like, okay, this is what will happen. I've got you. I have four kids myself that, you know, were all home births. She just made me believe that it was going to be absolutely fine. And even if it went wrong, she would be so, like, her energy was just so consistent. And I was like, you give me full faith that, like, even if something goes wrong, you've got this. So, and she's on the younger side. She was just very able. I could just imagine her like getting stuck in there. And she walked me through the process, and she was like, yeah, basically I'm at your beck and call, but she goes, you're probably going to think you're going into labor before you are, which did happen. And I'll just turn up, I'll deliver the baby, I'll be there for a couple of hours or however long you need, and then I'll peace out. And it was just very, you know, it was very, very cool. And so I had my one blood test at my doctor's in New Jersey. And then I started to go to Austin and make sure that I had all my visits with her. So we got to know each other really, really well. So I would say I had 6 appointments with her or less. It might have been less. No. It probably was about 6. They seemed really infrequent. And part of me was like, oh, I just want to go back. I'd love to see another ultrasound. When you're having a home birth, you have less of that.
Yeah, right.
I had one ultrasound that I obviously had to book privately. And I did one ultrasound in the UK, and, you know, that was it. And I did one blood test, one PETA. It was very basic and very minimal, which was great. I mean, it just seemed, it was very much, if there's nothing wrong, we're just kind of, I'll leave you to it. And it wasn't up until 36 weeks mark where she came every week.
Right.
And she came to my home. And that was cool as well, because she came to my home. And this is during the beginning of COVID. So I was very happy that I didn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And my parents met her a couple of times before they had to go back to England, and they really liked her. And, you know, we had the birthing pool blown up upstairs, ready to come down when I needed it. And it just felt like, wow, this is really great to not have to worry, oh, with timing, when do I jump in the car to go to hospital? Or do I have everything I need? I was like, it's all right here. So I had a hospital bag ready in case, and I had all that stuff just in case. But when it came to the crunch, I was 4 days over, which wasn't too bad, but I'm sure you remember, as soon as you're 40 weeks, you're like,
oh, I went 42 weeks. I remember every single one of those days, because I had a midwife with my first. I didn't have my magical birth experience, but I'm really happy that, well, I did in some sense, because I have two magical little babies. But at the time, I'd wanted a water birth in it. Just didn't go my way. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah, I when you're talking about having frequent, like less frequent midwife appointments, I remember that experience as well.
I have a friend, and she was 10 days behind me, and we live 5 minutes away here in Austin. And it felt like she was going in more, having more tests. Like, it just felt, again, more procedure. Whereas this felt like, oh, you know, your baby's doing great. You're doing great. Cool. So, part of me made me feel really relaxed about it. And so, yes, I was doing lots of walks. I was definitely still trying to do some deep squats. I was kind of exercising and moving in my mind to try and help me actually during labor. I wanted to feel strong. And so it was April 15th. And I remember I had jacket potato. What do you call that here? Baked potato? Baked potato.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what that is. She's saying jackets? Yeah.
Weird. I didn't want anything, you know, spicy or weird. I wanted something like really plain, which again is strange. So So I was like, okay, having a jacket potato. And my mom took a picture of me and she's like, this could be your last meal. You know, and, you're, and my mom's doing that for everything. This could be your last time peeing or whatever it might be. So I had that. And then at 10 p.m., that's when the contraction started. And I already was like, oh, these are kind of more aggressive than I thought they were going to be. No one took to me, not many people talked about the contractions. They talk about the labor, mm-hmm. The actual pushing section. So these contractions start and they get worse. And then I projectile vomited and then I start getting the chills. And then I had diarrhea, TMI. You know, lay it all down. So I was just a mess at this point. And my partner's like, are you okay? And I'm like, not really. Like, I don't know how much longer this can go on for.
Well, this is what, so it started at 10 p.m. ish. And then how long of a period are you experiencing this where it's getting intense?
The vomit and the diarrhea.
The diarrhea.
Yeah, that kind of started. So the contractions gradually got worse. And then it was around 11, 12 at night. That's when it got really uncomfortable. And then by 4 a.m., I was obviously timing them. I had the app where you press start and then you. Then you say how, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how intense were they? And I was like, intense. And so it gives you the warning and it says you should go to the hospital now, because they were every, I think I was getting 30 to 45 second, you know, breaks in between. And I was like, these are really frequent. Like, it's got to be nearly time. So I call her up and it's now 4 a.m. And Ellie's like, absolutely not. You're definitely not in labor. And I was like, no, it's so constant. And she's like, I mean, I'll come round and check, but I bet you. So anyway, she comes around at 4 a.m. I'm 1 centimeter dilated. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry for wasting your time. And she literally told me, she was like, just try and go to bed. Try and go to sleep. And I was like, absolutely not. I'm in such awful pain. I'm rocking. And honestly, the only kind of comfort I got was either being in the shower or being in kind of like a weird bent over yoga position or rocking on the toilet. And most of the time was spent rocking on the toilet, because like I said, my stomach was a mess. And then I said to Philip, I was like, I feel like my energy's going. I'm going to need some Gatorade, which I threw up straight away. Oof. So now, I mean, again, no sleep. I would try and lie down. Then as soon as it would happen again, I'd be, you know, up and just pacing. And when she said to me that the contractions could last another 48 hours, I said to Philip, I was like, what have I done? I need the drugs. And he's like, are you, he goes, no, you committed to this. We're too far down. And I was like, and I'm so glad, obviously, he took me off of a ledge, because I was thinking, if this goes on for 48 hours, I don't know how I would have the energy to then.
Yeah.
So luckily, okay, keep getting through it. He's the most amazing partner, just trying to comfort me, but also making me be like, you've got this. It's, you know, everything's going to be fine. And then at 10:30, my waters broke.
A.M. or P.M.?
A.M. the next day.
Okay. So you're at like 12 hours or so of like,
yeah, pain, 12 hours
vomit,
of
diarrhea. Fine.
And again, I'm thinking I'm a strong person. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe these are affecting me as much as they are. How the heck am I going to do the pushing? So anyway, I'm on the toilet and Philip sat in front of me. I think he was like holding my hands or just comforting me, and the waters broke and they splashed him in the face.
Oh my God.
So dramatic. And that actually made me so happy, because it made me so happy because I had a friend and her waters just never really broke. She never had that experience. So I was like, oh my goodness, what if I don't know? And so I was like, yes, my waters broke. Okay. Final stage.
Wait, what's Philip doing though? Is he freaking out that he got splashed, or is he like, yeah, whatever?
He was a little bit, but he was also relieved as well, because he was like, I know what else to say. This woman's, you know, going through all this pain and I'm trying to comfort her.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, yes, let's do this. So he's, you know, they're filling up the, because again, like I'm sure you know about the water birth pool, it's really important to get the temperature at the right point. Mm-hmm. So they're there with pots and pans and kettles and trying to fill this water.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I call my midwife. She's there in less than 30 minutes. First thing she does is, I'm not in the pool yet, because she says you want to leave it as long as possible, because it's, you want really the benefits of that water close to, as close to the actual birth. So she put her hand in, she goes, not warm enough. We're not going to be able to do it in the water.
Uh-oh.
she was like, you should head to the bed. And I was like, absolutely not. I was like, mom, dad. So they, again, they were just like boiling as much water as they could and chucking it in. And I just begged her and I was like, please. And she was like, well, we can try, but if that water is not, I think it was a, oh, I can't remember the exact temperature. Ugh.
Wait, your parents were there too?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So you've got your partner, Philip, the midwife, and your mom and dad.
Yes.
Okay, so you got a nice little support system.
It would have been very hard. I don't know how we would have done it, because without my parents there, we wouldn't have got the water up to the right temperature.
Yeah.
And Philip was able to just solely focus on me, and they were able to, you know, get the towels and just do other things and even take some pictures, which, again, how women have these beautiful pictures during birth, I have no idea. It was my last, it wasn't even on my radar to think I need pictures at this point.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice my mom taking some pictures. I was just, you know, screaming.
This episode of FAM is brought to you by Pipette, which is one of my favorite baby brands. Pipette is a clean baby and mom care brand with a mission to give every family the best start. It's one of the brands that I use as far as skincare brands for my own babies because I really like their products. They also have a really good standard of clean and best performing products. The product I like to focus on is their $5 hand sanitizer because it's infused with soothing skincare ingredients like squalane and glycerin, which happen to be some of my favorite skincare ingredients, not just for my hands, but for my face. The fragrance-free product is really wonderful because it not only is great for your hands as far as keeping them super soft and smooth, it never gets sticky, and it contains 65% ethyl alcohol. So if you guys don't know, the CDC recommends 60% alcohol in hand sanitizers for effectiveness. So this has even more than that. It eliminates 99.99% of many harmful germs and bacteria, and it's fast absorbing. So it's great to stay safe and healthy for the entire family. So if you're interested in trying the brand, visit pipettebaby.com and get 30% off with the code FAM. That's FAM.
So do you get in the tub?
Get in the tub, and that is 11:30. I get, or maybe, yeah, about 11:30. And I'm pushing, to which point the neighbors, little girls who were obviously quarantining doing homeschool, are like, is the lady okay? Like, I think the baby's coming. So I was definitely screaming pretty loud, which helped me a lot. Goodness, that really was very therapeutic, just kind of letting the big growls out. And I pushed from 11:30 to 1:30. So I was pushing for 2 hours.
In the tub?
In the tub.
Wow. I mean, the water can't be warm that long, right? So
you keep filling it. So that they're constantly refilling it, doing all that. Again, I'm just so focused. And then she's like, this is taking too long. She's like, I don't, and it's like, she knew that I was physically strong. She was like, I'm really surprised. And so she went up there and did an internal investigation.
Wait, like with her, like she actually like went in there?
Went up there as I'm like pushing. And so she kept, and this is the great thing about the water, because I was mostly on my hands and knees or like leaning on the birthing pool. And every time she had to go and see what was happening, I had to flip onto my back, you know, so she could kind of get up there, which would have been very hard on a bed to physically like upheaval yourself. So I was really happy I was just able to swim around in the water. And so she went up there and she said, the baby's head is stuck on your cervix. You have like a lip on your cervix. And she goes, so we can either keep pushing, but it could take a very long time, or I can manually pull that back and like help the baby come out. And there's no drugs.
Yeah. Shit.
I've got her hand up there at the same time,
holy
like
shit,
pulling and pushing. And I was like, just go for it. I was like, at this point, the pain can't get any worse. So she's pulling that back whilst the baby comes out. But then of course, as soon as his head comes out, then the shoulders got stuck. So at this point it was, again, it all happened so, so quick, but I just remember her saying, get out the pool. And you know, when it's just like, there was no BS, it was just like, move right now. So Philip grabs me and I'm out of the pool because his head's come out.
Oh my God.
Potentially the baby would have drowned.
Right.
So at this point, quickly jump, get out this pool. And then she's like, squat down. So I just squat down and she pulls him out.
Holy shit, yeah. Girlfriend. Oh, you think you've heard a lot of birth stories, you know, and then you hear one like this. Oh my God.
His neck had been stuck in my cervix. So then he basically comes out and he wasn't breathing.
Oh no.
You're talking about seconds here, right, but right. It felt like, and his face was blue.
Shit.
And basically everyone but me, because I was facing the other way, went deadly silent. And then I heard my mom start to be, why is he not breathing? And then my midwife says, go and get the breathing apparatus. Like, and then she started resuscitating him.
Oh my God.
And as soon as she did the first mouth to mouth resuscitation, he cried and everyone started crying out of sheer relief. And it was the most beautiful sound, but it was just, and then I thought, therefore, it was a traumatic birth. Yeah. And I'd read so many books and I was like, no, it's so important how the baby comes into this world. I don't want it to be traumatic. To which my midwife said, she goes, you wouldn't believe how often this happens when the baby isn't breathing as soon as they get out, or there's just moments of this. And she was like, honestly, it wasn't traumatic. It might feel like it for everyone, but you know, everything's absolutely fine. But yeah, that was, and then everyone said, would you do it again at home? And I was so confused, but she said to me, if I'd have been in hospital, they probably would have given me a C-section, because they wouldn't have bothered to go up there and try and pull my cervix back and do all that stuff. So I was actually then thankful that I did it at home. But also the part of me is, will that happen again?
Yeah.
And what if someone isn't as quick this time? Like, there's just so many. So that's my birth story.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, I'm sure you're still, honestly, I think it even now, I'm from my first pregnancy, because I had an emergency C-section, which I was totally cool with. Like, I didn't hesitate. Like, the minute they were like, he's stuck, I was like, C-section, cut me open. Right? Like, that was my mentality. But I think even with that, like, you almost like, my child is now almost 4 years old. And I think, like, sometimes I think back on it and I'm still wrapping my head around how all that went down, like the whole, you know, everything about the labor story and stuff. And I think you just like wrap your head around it. And I think it's not until you're faced with having to make the decision of how you're going to give birth to your second child that you really try to make a decision, right? Like, I think it's really about absorbing that and then making those decisions, right?
Yeah, I was definitely shocked because I didn't cry. And I was very confused because I thought, you know, I mean, I cried when I found out I was pregnant. And so I was just really shocked I didn't cry, you know, during the birth. And I think it was because I just hadn't processed it yet. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall for my own birth, because I do feel like you're so in it. I mean, have you ever been so present in your whole life?
Yeah. I mean, you're pretty damn present then. Yeah.
I just couldn't explain it another other way. You are just in that moment, feeling things you've just never imagined that you could possibly feel with your heart, with your body, with everything, your whole soul. And I think that was so overwhelming. I couldn't even put it into emotions. So I was a little bit emotionless for a while. And I definitely think I spent maybe even a couple of days feeling a little bit disconnected in the weirdest sense from it all. I almost didn't believe it had happened. And then I remember crying and sobbing and just really processing, like, wow, did I just accomplish that? Like, that just happened. And still to this day, I could just look at him and cry.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that goes away.
No.
Because my oldest is 6 and a half and I'm still like, oh my God, my baby.
How did we all do it? And then I'm just looking at all these other humans in the world. I'm like, someone gave birth to you. You know, we all came from that place. I think it's very humbling. I think it gives you a beautiful perspective and empathy like you've never had for other humans, especially other moms and women and those who aren't able to have this experience. And one of my best friends, you know, she has tried for many years and, you know, had IVF rounds. And, you know, I have such empathy because I mean, there really is nothing that is like this, you know, and trying to want to share that with her and wishing I could gift that to her. But, you know, she's going to be a mother, I'm sure, in so many other ways.
Yeah.
And it's really that bringing up a child and having people in your life that is, you know, a huge part of it. I think it's interesting how I would say a lot of the people around me who I was with in New York in this industry, they are single and they didn't really understand how much I wanted this and wanted a family. And I feel distant from them now, which is interesting. You know, I think there's a lot of ways in which you have such a big overhaul in life and you have this experience and it can be hard to relate again.
Oh, for sure.
My outlook on things is different. Not just my perspective, but my priorities, obviously completely different. And I can't even stand being in certain conversations now because it just seems irrelevant or unimportant or just, you know, it really does. Everything changes when you become a mother. Mm-hmm. You know, your whole being, like we said from the beginning of our interview, the physical side, but also just all these other things inside that you might have a completely new viewpoint or opinion or, you know, not want to spend time with certain people or then suddenly be interested in certain things or different people or different conversations. And yeah, it's fascinating. I'm still trying to figure myself out.
Yeah. And you're only 6 months out too. I feel like there's just so many seasons of motherhood that one goes through, you
Absolutely.
Know? And I mean, like some people say, you know, the first year is so hard. You're just sleep deprived and exhausted. And then other people are like, oh, but toddlers, they want to eat everything and they're falling all the time. And then teenager moms will be like, you don't know shit. Just wait till the cops show up at your house and say that, you know, they're looking for your kid or whatever. So I just think there's so many seasons and it's like a never ending journey of trying to figure yourself out and your place in the world as a mom and, you know,
yeah, for sure.
You are such a ray of sunshine. How do you like Austin? So many people are moving to Austin. How do you like it?
Well, firstly, they can stop moving here because they're raising house prices.
That's what I went to Austin like 2.5 years ago and multiple people yelled at me and they were like, we don't want any Californians here. And I was like, whoa, I just came for the queso fundido and the cowboys. Okay.
There are people when I used to go to the gym who would wear like, this is Texas, not California t-shirt. Oh,
seriously? Dang,
seriously.
Boo.
It's a real thing. Yeah. because I mean, it really has. I think house prices have gone up 30% this year, even during COVID.
I bet especially during COVID.
And we've had multiple friends. I mean, I came here in 2015 without knowing my partner, knowing no one here, coming for work. And I said to my dad, I said, I could live in Austin. Mm-hmm. It's very random, but I absolutely love it here. It's this balance of being liberal, being open-minded, yeah. having access to amazing culture of there's so much music, but there's also nature. There's also space. There's also just a really great standard of living. There's some good schools, but, you know, and very artsy and creative. And I was just like, it's such a mix of so many cool things. And it's a young, vibrant city. And when my partner went to college here, he was just like, I'm never leaving. So, you know, if you want to be with me, you're going to have to move to Austin. And I was like, I love Austin. This is perfect.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. Before we wrap up our conversation, I guess I'm curious, do you see yourself going back to modeling now?
I mean, like I said, I jumped back in the bandwagon and I started creating content. And it's interesting because simultaneously as my life shifted, COVID happened. So the fashion industry completely shifted.
Yeah.
And it became very online. So it's lended itself really, really well because it's enabled me to work from home, be a hell of a lot more flexible. And so that's been a blessing. Obviously challenging at times because I definitely miss certain elements of my old life and wonder if it will ever go back to normal. But yeah, I've definitely been doing a lot of shoots. I hope and expect, you know, next year, maybe I'll get back to Cannes. Maybe maybe September Fashion Week.
Can
might
I
happen.
Go in your suitcase to Cannes? Thanks, that'd be great.
You should definitely. I always bring my mom along and stay at this beautiful hotel with L'Oreal, and you know George Clooney stays there, and my mom's George.
I'm a fan. I love of Clooney.
It. Well, tell everybody where they can find you, so they can see all the things that you're doing with your life.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'm at Iskra, Iskra. And that is my handle on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube. And then I also have Facebook, but that one's I Am Iskra. And so, yeah, I'm all over the internet just trying to be really authentic. I don't retouch my pictures. I made a pledge to myself 5 years ago, having experienced body dysmorphia and an eating disorder from being in the fashion industry from such a young age, and finally finding that instead of changing my body, I would change the industry, and getting to a point where really the industry does look a lot different now. And it's really, really exciting that I also knew that photoshopping had a huge impact on my self-esteem. So I committed to not doing that. And it essentially that also filtered into my narrative, the way I spoke about my birth, the way I spoke about pregnancy and raising my child. I've again kept that very unfiltered and real and raw and authentic. And I'm going to continue to do that and just really kind of paint that real picture of what life is like being a mother, trying to model and juggling, starting up my own brand. I'll be coming out with baby wear in 2021.
Yeah, ooh, cool.
That's really, really exciting. And yeah, there's a few other things in the pipeline. So
it was such a blast to talk to you. You're obviously beautiful on the outside, and now we know you're beautiful on the inside too.
Definitely.
You really appreciate you both. Thank you. This is a wonderful podcast, a wonderful space to just kind of let moms offload and know they're doing okay. They're doing, you know, the best they can, and it's going to be okay. So we all need those check-ins. We all need that mom tribe. So thank you for doing what you do.
Well, she's a peach. Her baby is adorbs. And
I mean, so cute. Did
we're
you
obviously
see
not moving to Austin.
I know.
So there you go.
I know.
I wasn't planning on it.
But I mean, maybe if things keep going the way they are in Los Angeles, it's maybe like, we should pick up and move.
You know, when you grow up in California, the real estate is just so expensive compared to obviously anywhere else, that anywhere else seems cheap sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I have looked at Austin real estate on Trulia before just to see what's out there. But I'm a Californian through and through. God damn it.
Sounded like a Texan.
I know. I like to confuse people. Yeah. Anyway, that was great. She's a peach. Follow her. Did you say peach earlier?
No, you said peach. Charzon, we're losing it, you guys. I loved hearing Iskra's message. I loved hearing her birth story.
Love birth stories.
Birth stories are the best. We really should just transition into birth stories for
all
everybody.
Day, every day.
All day, every day. If you guys want to share your birth stories, you can always share them in our private Facebook group. It's called Fam for All Moms. You can find us on Instagram. I'm at Susan Yara. You are?
I'm at Charzon Kiade.
Exactly.
S-H. A-R-Z-A-D.
Kiade.
There's I want to be like Iskra, though. I tried to just get Charzad.
Did you?
No, but I can't. There's some other BZ out there with my name. But I do own the domain Charzad.com. Thank you.
What?
Thank you. I've had it for a few years. It used to sell, I remember looking like 8 years ago, and it was like belly dance accessories or something on Charzad.com. And I was like, damn it. And it was like a little rinky-dink site. And then Michael was like, just look again. And I thought, I don't know why I always, Michael doesn't sound like that. Just look again. Anyway, I looked again one day and it was available and I snatched that up and I'm never letting that domain go.
That's a good one.
It's good. It's my good. Name. Yep. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. And we'll talk to you another time.
You did like three accents today. I love it. Bye, everybody. We love you.
Bye.